Welcome to the Resilience Unlimited Show, your go-to podcast for empowerment and growth. I'm Coach Dr. Lauren, founder of Resilience Unlimited, inviting you to join our transformative journey each week. This space is specially crafted for high-achieving women, specifically women of color, where we can feel seen, heard, and part of a thriving community. This podcast is your compass for emotional regulation, understanding your purpose, and living unapologetically authentic. Ready to invest in yourself? So I just left the pool a little bit ago. You know, whenever you're listening to this, I don't know when I left the pool, but let's just say you're listening to this. Well, it's not live. So anyway, that defeats the whole point. I realized that when I am swimming, so I love to swim. I actually taught myself how to swim, and I just love the quiet. And I love that I'm away from like technology. I love that I can watch the water flow, you know, as I'm moving down with my kickboard, I can just watch the water and it really just calms me down. And it's a great break for me in between calls and all of that good stuff. But I have found I've been doing pool workouts for over 10 plus years because I originally started doing pool workouts due to my track injury. I had a hip fracture and a stress fracture. I ran Division I track. So a lot of it was my body just still needed to work out, but it had to be low impact. And so I just really loved being in the water and it just became one of my, you know, one of my workout routines along with other things that I do. But I tend to find that I like to go during the day and more so because I get the quiet. And during the day are the senior citizens. And I was, you know, on lap 4 or 5 and there was an older gentleman and an older woman and they were talking and I couldn't help but smile. And, you know, forget the boomers. I'm talking about the silent generation. Okay. So if you don't know what that is, then go check. These are the folks that are in their 70s and 80s. Okay. And all of a sudden I hear this guy and he's like, "They don't know who LBJ is." And I literally started laughing. And I was like, yeah, Lyndon Baines Johnson, of course. You know, he was Kennedy's vice president, then turned president. You know, I remember the picture. He looks distressed. Everyone's distressed. You know, JFK's head just flew off and Jackie O has blood and she's got to be like, it was, we all know the historical picture, right? Maybe you don't. Google it. So I was like, okay. So I went back into my meditation, right? I was like, all right, cool. Let me just reflect on life, feel good about myself. So I come back down and all of a sudden I hear, "And they don't even know who JFK was." And I could not help but laugh at this point because I was like, are we just taking a stroll down memory lane? Come back down the other. "I bet you they don't know who Ike is." And I'm like, "I know Ike. That's Eisenhower. He was the one who invented, you know, the interstate." So I'm, you know, maybe I'm just like a history, you know, nerd. And I loved presidents. I grew up always like interested in the presidents of the United States. I don't know why, but they are just connecting, right? They're in the same generation. They're laughing about it. They're having a moment. And I was not laughing in a sense of making fun of them, but it was so refreshing to see two people probably in the same generation just having a moment of nostalgia, right? And it got me really thinking, how do the senior citizens, the silent generation at the Y, connect to life, right? I'm all about these deep connections. I'm all about like everything is interconnected. Everything is interpersonal. How do we become the best version of ourselves? And so it had me thinking, there's a place for nostalgia, right? There's a place for, man, back in the day, yeah, you know, because maybe that was a good time in your life. Maybe you didn't have any kids. Maybe you had more freedom. Maybe you had more money. Whatever it is, everyone has those feelings. But I think it's when we get stuck in the past is when it really starts to rob us of our current happiness. So while, you know, the gentleman in the lane was talking about LBJ, which was what, 1961? So that was 60 plus years ago. Now he's not, well, I hope he's not, you know, stuck in the 60s because that would be unfortunate. But I find that when we as women of color, as people, as a marginalized society, there's so much intergenerational trauma and there's so much trauma, period. And I feel that whether it's conscious or subconscious, we tend to stay in that state of where that trauma came from, or we don't know how to break from that. And I think that once we become aware of how we were feeling during that time period, what was going on in our lives during that time period, I think that's when we can really start to uncover how do we move forward, right? So again, there's a place for nostalgia, and I think that it's totally appropriate. I mean, that is one of the feelings in Brené Brown's Atlas of the Heart. Like that, actually, she goes really in depth about nostalgia. Nostalgia, in some ways, is kind of a sad happiness, like a bittersweet, if you will, because it's no longer there, but yet you're still thinking about the good times. But when we're thinking about becoming the best version of ourselves, right? If we're thinking of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you know, we've got the bottom part is your basics, your survivals, your food, your clothes, your shelter, all of that. We're not in a state of thinking about what's best for my nervous system. We're in a state of fight, flight, or freeze, depending on the severity of that bottom rung in Maslow's hierarchy of needs. But when we go further up, then it's all about belonging. And where are we in society? Do I feel like I belong in this place at work? Do I feel like I belong in this family? Do I feel like I belong, fill in the blank? And then the higher up we go, that's when we are reaching more of that self-actualized state. And we can't get there. And I could say this from personal experience. I'm not there yet, but I can't get to that rung if I have not released parts of my life and seasons and all of that, released that trauma, and not even just released it, because I realize I've done that, but there's some things that still get to me. You have to heal that part. And so when we go back to those moments, you have to be intentional. You have to be intentional and say, well, this happened when I was fill in the blank age, years old, and this is why I hate those kinds of people, because this is what happened when I was 26, whatever it is. Well, you have to somehow forgive yourself for whatever pain and hurt and, you know, all the things. Then you have to be able to release that. But the hardest part really is, well, all of those are hard, but I feel like if we're ranking the most challenging, I think releasing is really the part that has to come from that inner peace. And it has to come from that place of, I'm living in the present moment and I want to be able to really smell and enjoy the flowers. I want to be able to be in that pool and feel my body and understand that I can smell the chlorine. I can hear the conversations from the people around me. I want to be able to live life and really live life. And I think that when we are constantly on the go, on the go, on the go, we aren't giving ourselves the time to really realize, gosh, am I that silent generation? There weren't a couple, but the silent generation people at the pool talking about, oh, these youngins don't know who Ike is. Am I doing that at a detriment to my happiness? You know, is it jeopardizing or taking away from what I could have internally? So that just like came to me and I was like, you know, we do this a lot. And it actually is impacting our inner soul, our inner being, our inner, you know, what we're feeling inside is going to reflect what we're seeing. So, you know, perception is reality. So if you're feeling the trauma all the time, if you're in a traumatic state 24/7, you're not really going to see the beauty in what's around you or the opportunity in what's around you. So if that resonated with you, I want you to drop some comments in the chat, or even better, email me. I've dropped my Costco episode and I had someone reach out to me, and it really meant a lot to me because I am literally speaking from my heart. There's always so much in my head that I want to share. And I think it just is so impactful for me to just boom, do it. By the way, my microphone and my headphones, my microphone stopped working. I don't know what's going on, but I was like, you know what? I got to get the message out there. The audience doesn't care if I have my headphones on or not. So if you are interested in learning more about my coaching program, so again, as I've said before, I do educational therapy, which is not tutoring. So take a look at that link in the show notes if you don't know the difference. But I also provide neuroholistic life coaching. Now, what does that mean? Everyone thinks of the brain. I am not a neuropsychologist. I do have a doctorate of education. I'm not a medical doctor, but neurodiversity, ADHD, dyslexics, dysgraphics, you know, those folks, more specifically women that exhibit signs and symptoms of ADHD, because that is really near and dear and personal to me. But when I say neuroholistic, it's really understanding who you are in that neurodiversity brain. But also, how are we holistically living? How are we holistically happy? Are you getting enough sleep? Are you drinking enough water? Are you regulating your emotions? Are you calming your nervous system? All the things that, again, we don't really think of. And if you're a mom, oh my God, like, we're just go, go, go mode. And I can speak from personal experience. My daughter was sick with the flu last week, and then it was 5 days with her because it was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, no school. And then the weekend, and it was like, holy smokes, what am I going to do? I need my personal time. And then this week she came home with some 24-hour stomach flu where she's throwing up everywhere and I'm trying to be in meetings and calls. So it's so important for us to really ground ourselves, know how we're feeling. We're human. But it's about how we respond to it. And it's about how we respond to the universe responding to us. So again, if you're interested in learning more about my services, I would love to meet you on a discovery call. And really, it's no pressure. I am not a salesy person. I've been sold to myself and by, you know, I'm over it. I'm over the fake fucking people. I'm over the people that pretend to try to be my friend because, you know, we connect and, you know, no, we don't. Stop it. You can't tell me what's right for me. I will tell you what's right for me when I'm ready for that. So I'm going to end on that note because I'm just rambling at this point. But again, I want to hear from you all. So put it in the comments or shoot me an email and I'll see you on my next whatever's on my mind episode.
Thank you for joining us this week on the Resilience Unlimited show. Be sure to hit subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe on our YouTube channel and follow us on social media. See you next week, divas. And don't forget, stay resilient.